You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio, where each week we discuss the most important topics in the world of Indiana basketball. This is our 274th edition of Assembly Call Radio and our 894th episode overall of the Assembly Call, recorded on the evening of December 15th, 2022. I am your host, Jared Morris. And let's begin this edition of the Assembly Call how we begin every edition of the Assembly Call, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment.
And Indiana is the national champion.
When it comes down, Indiana will be champion.
Smart takes a shot.
The Hoosiers have won the national championship.
This week's banner moment occurred at the 9:08 mark of the first half of Indiana's loss to Arizona. That's when Miller Kopp hit a three-pointer to cut Arizona's ballooning first-half lead from 29-12 to 29-15. It was a mostly unremarkable play during one of the worst stretches of the season for this IU team, so what's the big deal? Well, Kopp had opened the game by missing his first three three-point attempts. In fact, he had missed two open looks on the prior possession, and yet, when he fired up that fourth three-pointer with 9:08 to go, I had full, visceral confidence that it was going in, and it did. So here's a quick question for you. When was the last time you were truly confident in an IU shooter? You probably have to go all the way back to 2017 when James Blackman Jr. was firing up 6-plus threes a game and making 42.1% of them. And while Miller Kopp isn't the kind of shooter James Blackman Jr. was, Kopp is a career 37.1 shooter from three, while JBJ was 41.5, he's earning a meaningful level of confidence from IU fans with the way he's shooting to open this season. Miller Kopp is 23 of 47 from three, a sizzling 48.9%, and he's 13 for 20 from three, good for 65%. And sure, the sample size is still pretty small. Let's see how those percentages hold up in the heat of Big Ten play. But Kopp's shooting improvement is just one example of a rare trend we're seeing up and down Indiana's roster early this season. Players actually improving as shooters. Trey Galloway is shooting better than ever, 6 for 13 from 3, 11 of 18 on twos. Tamar Bates is shooting better than ever, 14 of 34 from 3, 19 of 29 from 2. Xavier Johnson's three-point and free throw percentages are currently career highs. And again, let's see how these early trends hold up in Big Ten play, but it's worth noting because this kind of internal shooting improvement just isn't something we've seen a lot in recent seasons outside of Al Durham and the one Armon Franklin season. And it's showing up in the team-wide numbers, too. Indiana's shooting 36.4% from deep as a team and already has four games this season making 10 or more three-pointers, including each of the last two. Now, we all know that the shooting has to improve for Indiana to win at the level we all desire. Part of that is recruiting better shooters, but part of it is also developing the shooting of the players you get. And on that second point, we're seeing some early returns here in year two of the Woodson era that are encouraging. Hopefully they continue, because it will take some pressure and attention off of Trace in the post and give this Indiana roster a real chance to play up to its ceiling come February and March. All right, now let me introduce my co-host this week. Andy and his man bun are off tonight as he tends to some pre-holiday duties with his wife and girls. But here with me, back from Las Vegas, he's a longtime high school basketball coach in the state of Indiana, the founder of Delphi Bracketology, and a man who understands the value of shooting.
No one ever gets in the paper for passing. No chicks will go out with you if you're not in the paper.
That's right. You got to shoot. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Coach.
He remembers the days when a movie cost a dollar. Heaven help you if you ever decide to pop your collar. Play hard, but remember fake hustle is a crime. He's the coach and it's Tonsoni time.
Well, Coach, you made it back from Vegas. You didn't get arrested that we know about. So what's on your mind tonight?
I'm here, no record, a little bit lighter in the wallet from the blackjack table, but a really nice trip out to Vegas. I was telling Ryan before the show, I enjoy the time zone, the sports coming on early. It was just a very good trip. I spent it with Mrs. Tonsoni and then my oldest son and his wife and some family friends. So it was a family vacation until Saturday. And then seeing all the Hoosier fans in Vegas around the arena, up and down the strip, it just reminded me of how special we have it as Indiana fans, that when things start turning our way, people will travel. Looking forward to tournament play, Big Ten tournament play, where we can, again, play in the weekend. There's nothing better than those Indiana fans in the hotel cheering for people for walking out of a hotel. It's the brand, and it's just fun to be a part of it. Also, to all of our Assembly Call listeners and followers, thanks for stopping by. I got inundated with direct messages. I apologize for those I couldn't meet up with, and those that I did have a drink with or say hello. It's just fantastic. It represents what Jared and Ryan, what you guys do on the show. I benefit from it because I get to be closer. But they really appreciate what we do, and that was awesome. Especially my guy Ryder, the young man, and his father came up. It was just a very special meeting. It kept the game in perspective that there are people that just love the Candy Stripes and love the experience of being a Hoosier fan, win or lose. So shout outs to Ryder from California. I hope you're listening or watch the show. And then the basketball, Indiana didn't play well and yet had an opportunity late in the game to beat a top 10 program who has a lot of weapons. But I don't think Indiana played well post defensively or rebounding. I thought they got manhandled. I thought the point guard play was sloppy in executing offense. A lot of times, you know, I heard you guys talk in about the post-game show. I listened to it and not getting TJD the ball on the move. Well, part of that was because the guards were so slow in getting into offense that by the time any design for TJD, it was clogged up the way Arizona was. So the nice thing is we hit threes. And we the resiliency of the team in a game where I don't think they played well. So, you know, that's going to happen. But we competed in that situation. So you get on the plane and fly home and hardly get some sleep. But we're back at it. And we have a shot again Saturday to make some noise again against a quality opponent.
Absolutely. All right, well, also joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he is a senior writer for The Big Lead and the world's greatest unemployed shot doctor, and he has a message for all the haters out there. Oh, I hit the wrong button.
Up yours.
Dang it, that would have been so much better if I hit the right button.
Up yours.
I had to pull that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is everybody's favorite ranter.
Analyzing players, finding every wrinkle. He hasn't ever hosted, never lifted a finger. He's got all the
answers. Well, let me quickly add just one thing about this.
Dude just interrupted his own jingle.
Ryan, what would you like to rant about this evening?
Yeah, I just think we need to remember that the last time we were on here talking, they had a chance to win that game, but it felt like Indiana was outmanned completely by Arizona. And that's, you know, Arizona's a really good team. And I told you, I've watched them a couple times. I think they're going to be as good as anybody in the country this year. They've got a lot of talent up and down that roster, and their starting five is really friggin' good and well-rounded. That said, Indiana's going to have to compete with teams like that to win the Big Ten. I mean, we've hyped them as the Big Ten preseason, the team that's going to win the Big Ten and all this. And, you know, I just think that there was a soft label on Indiana for a while, and it has shown up in their two losses that they've been soft. They've gotten pushed around, and whether it's Trayce Jackson-Davis or the guards or whoever, they've gotten pushed around. And you cannot get pushed around and win big games in college basketball anymore. You might get lucky and win 2 out of 10, but you're not going to win big, big games consistently unless you're tough, and they have to be tougher. And Mike Woodson should be able to get these guys to be tougher than they are. And quite frankly, without Jalen Hood-Schifino, they've looked a lot like last year's team in a lot of ways. They can shoot a little better. But it's a lot of relying on Trayce Jackson-Davis to be superhuman and Xavier Johnson to play at his absolute best to get wins against decent competition. And so they need him back, and then the rest of the guys need to be tougher because they got shoved around and they didn't fight back the way they should have. They worked hard, they played hard, but they didn't push back the way that they were getting pushed. So that's the thing we got to watch from this team moving forward. Big Ten is a tough conference where you are going to get smacked in the mouth a lot, And it's about how you respond to getting punched in the mouth, because it's going to happen inevitably. It's about how you respond to it. And we saw in the Big Ten tournament last year, they responded very well to it. And you were hoping they could carry that on this year. The two times they have really gotten punched in the face at Rutgers and against Arizona, they have not responded well. Again, team plays hard. It's about playing smart and playing physical and, you know, being able to counter what a team is throwing at you. And they haven't done that so far against two really good teams.
Well said. All right. Well, here's what we have in store this week. The rest of segment one, we will have some more reflections from Vegas and talk a little bit about Jalen Hood-Schifino's health, because Mike Woodson talked about it today. And then in segment two, we are going to talk about IU Kansas, and we have another special guest with us. It is Tate Frazier from Titus and Tate. He'll be joining us here for segment two. And then in segment three, as always, we will do our mailbag. All of that coming this week on Assembly Call Radio. But first, let's talk about our presenting sponsor.
Home field apparel, wear on for the team.
Yes, this edition of Assembly Call Radio, just like all shows on the Back Home Network, presented by our friends at Home Field Apparel, where they have the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. With beloved logos, of course, like two different versions of the Bison, controversial logos like the Oval and everything in between. But look, the bottom line is Home Field Apparel has something for fans of pretty much every school, with unique vintage logos for all of them. They keep adding new schools. They got 140, 150. And that's what makes it a great place to do your Christmas shopping, because you can go knock out like half your list and get them really cool stuff. Maybe it's someone who lives in a warm weather climate. You want to get them t-shirts. Maybe it's someone who's prepping for the cold and you want to get them some of the most comfortable hoodies and crew necks that are there. Well, with Home Field Apparel, you know they're going to get comfortable stuff. The colors are going to last through many washings. And you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through Kelly. And there's just not much better than that. So go to homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code HOME to get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Once again, the website homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, Coach, I'm just curious. Obviously, you gave us some of your observations from Vegas. Is there anything else that stood out to you, whether on the court or off, that you haven't had a chance to share?
Well, I'm going to back up Ryan's talk about being tough. I think that's correct, and it's just subtle things. The post play, we weren't catching the post early. On defense, and there were several times Race and TJD and Renew were just standing in the lane, and next thing you know, a guy cut behind him and then sealed him at the rim. And you can't stop those talented guys at the rim. You're going to have to push them out a little bit further. I thought TJD tried to do that better than the other two post defenders, but that's just a step slow. That's just not locked in a big moment, and that's a sign that of that toughness that Ryan's talking about. It's not a lack of effort, not a lack of preparation. It's just, are you locked in to doing the little things to win big games like that? And I thought that and the rebounding, the lack of physicality by our bigs in blocking out and rebounding was shocking defensively. And you've seen our Indiana's defensive numbers decrease a little bit. It's like they're resting on their laurels a little bit, and that's not intentional. Sometimes, you know, you just get comfortable being a solid defensive team, and then you run into a very talented Arizona team that could do multiple things. And it's like every time we doubled down, they hit a three. Every time we stayed tight on the guards, they entered it in the post because the post got – so the defense was the most shocking aspect for me. Offensively, we're just going to have to figure something out because they're double, triple team the lane. They also clogged the lane on the middle ball screen because that's where X operates well. And there is such an emphasis on looking inside. Even when Race hit four threes, there's a couple times after he hit a couple where he still was open and his first thought is, I got to look in at TJD. Dude, you just hit three threes. Catch it and let it fly. The overemphasis on inside out is something that has to be watched by the coaching staff. And maybe, again, we're shooting better. The confidence is getting better. That's a positive. But there were times when our point guards, then go back to what I said earlier about our point guards, they missed the one more pass to people who were open. Kopp was open all night long and should have got four or five more opportunities. Trey Galloway missed a couple. The coaches are calling them over and telling them. So this is where I thought it was a player lack of execution game more than a coaching situation game. Obviously, the coaches could have done some better things as well. But the players were too sped up, too caught up in the moment. Maybe it was just a big game with 13,000 IU fans on the road in the hotel lobby. I don't know what it was. But they didn't play smart. It wasn't smart basketball by the players. I mean, X throws one to the coach. You don't win big games with players when you're doing that. And that's what Arizona played calm. They took the post feed when it was there. They took the three-point shot. They skipped against the help when it was there. We seem to be in such a hurry to do things, especially to go inside, that that's also a positive, though, because you can calm that down through film study and reps and playing these big games. Some of these guys at Arizona for a couple of years have played in those types of atmospheres. But I was really disappointed in the performance of Indiana, really proud of the fight and the resilience to come back several times with big shots, and very pleased with the shooting. So, yeah, we're 2-1 in the quality games in non-conference with a chance to go 3-1 in a big, big game. No one thinks we're going to compete. So this isn't a setback. It's just a game that Indiana didn't play well and needs to be mentally tougher, as Ryan mentioned, and physically tougher as well in order to compete in the second weekend and a Final Four if they ever have that opportunity to get there.
You know, this seems like a team that, for better or worse, still very much goes as Trace goes. And for most of the season, it's been for the better because he's been really, really good and has been really good ever since the Big Ten tournament and even, you know, a few weeks before that last year. He was terrific at Xavier, played well against North Carolina, obviously has the, you know, the triple-double against Nebraska, but against Rutgers and Arizona, really seemed out of sorts. And, you know, I'm curious to you, did that look like, you know, something where he just doesn't quite have his same quickness and bounce because he's dealing with injuries? We know he's had back issues. Or did it seem more to you like a little bit of old Trace creeping in, where we know in some of these games when teams have really bodied him up and tried to take stuff away, he has been a little bit too willing to acquiesce instead of imposing his will on the game and the team kind of follows suit?
I didn't watch the game on television. Again, I'm watching it live from several rows up. I have no problem with how Trace played. It is absolutely brutal to play against 2 and 3 guys. You have no room to move. When you do a side ball screen and roll and the pass is there, the guards' heads are down trying to dribble too much, and then you run into a body, This wasn't the old Trace where he would come and go. This was old Trace where I'm just frustrated because I'm just getting physically fronted, behind, bumped here. When I catch, I have no room to even bounce. And that's just frustrating. He's not just getting double teamed. He's getting triple teamed, and people are just sitting in the lane like crazy. So maybe there was some mental frustration. I also think his back is still bothering him. I texted you guys that I saw him reach for his back a lot of times when he's walking to the huddle for timeouts, and he looked a little bit slower because of that. But I just think Arizona took him away. Arizona took him away, and Trace wants to win, and Trace wants to score 20 and get 10, and he can't. He can't until something changes defensively against Indiana, because there's just no room. I mean, he's a fantastic player, but with no room, he can't score the 20 that Indiana needs. And this is where the emphasis on getting the ball is great, but if teams are going to do that, you got to have some other avenues to attack. And then put that onus back on that opposing coach. Am I going to still stay in this pack line, packing the lane, double, triple teaming defense, or am I going to come out a little bit? You guys mentioned it, thought you got TJD the ball more in the move in the second half, and why did IU wait to do that? The reason was the three ball opened that up. From my perspective, they made an adjustment to stick a little closer to the three ball, so they were moving, and they got on the guards for, hey, pass the ball. Quit just dribbling the crap out of it. You know, make sure you're hitting TJD when he's open, not two steps later as he's getting bumped. And I thought they did that in the second half, because the second half was a solid effort up until the last 3 or 4 minutes. So
I mean, the last 30 minutes of the game were a pretty good effort. It was that first 10 where just nothing looked right.
It was just that stress where X was out, really. I mean, Indiana came totally unglued.
I know that the score was closer, but they didn't start well. It didn't look good from the beginning. Yeah. Arizona took a few minutes to get in and start making some shots. And it's understandable because it's a strange venue. But it didn't look good from the jump, and the Knicks did go out and Arizona found its rhythm. I don't know if those two things are directly related, but Indiana definitely didn't play well with X out. So, but I, you know, it's the kind of thing where I feel like Arizona was going to get on that roll regardless of whether or not X was in the game. They started hitting some shots, and that's kind of when we fell apart.
And really our shot making covered poor performance.
It did,
to be honest, which is what shot making does, but we Race played
and,
bad.
And Pop kept them in the game.
Mm-hmm. And the shot making kept Indiana in those runs, and that's the reason they couldn't get over the top, because they just weren't playing good offense or good defense throughout. And Arizona runs offense where they take whatever is available. It's kind of a beautiful
thing.
And
they can. They can.
If the guards are open, they're going to shoot the three. If the post is open, they're going to feed the post, and it balances out in a way. And
they can. They just have a ton of well-rounded players who can kind of do everything too. I mean, even the big guys can step out a little bit. Ballo not as much, but Tubelis can do whatever he wants pretty much. And you know, with Indiana, Indiana's undersized. I know we rely on the paint a lot, but Indiana's undersized compared to some of these teams. And you get Tubelis at 6'11", able to take you out on the floor a little bit, and then, you know, be running in for a rebound. It's hard to block a guy like that out. You're getting crashed into from a guy running from 18 feet out, trying to get around you to tip a rebound. And he did that a number of times. Ballo's 7 feet. He can reach over you and the officials aren't going to call it. And that happened several times. I mean, it's just a tough matchup, but it's going to be a tough matchup for anyone. And guess what? You want to win a national championship, you're probably going to have to beat a team like that. You're probably going to have to run into a team like that to get far in the tournament. Arizona's Indiana's not the only one out there.
Indiana's an in-the-lane offense right now from the post feeds and Race Thompson and from the guards. Galloway's better on his floaters. X is good at getting in the lane. Where Arizona's guards are better on the perimeter. They come off ball screens. If you go under, they're going to pull the three. We don't really have that yet. Maybe with 10 threes in the last two games, we're going to get to a spot where the three-point becomes a weapon. I would still love to see Coach run some things for shooters early and just tell that opposing coach, you sit in that lane, we're going to run stuff for Kopp, and he's going to hit four or five threes. We're going to get out 15-5, and we're going to kick your ass with the three-point ball just as much as we're going to do it with the post feed. Like, if we're going to make 10 threes and Tamar's going to shoot that way and Galloway's shooting 40%, start running some stuff for these guys, not just early middle ball screen, low post, or have to go into TJD. And Woodson's been good at freeing up these guys to shoot. Free them up to play, like, a little bit more. Because Race just – he's got to shoot. If no one's on him, he's got to shoot. Look inside. You can't feed the post from the top of the key when a guy's in front of TJD and behind TJD, and then the whole offense gets stagnant. That's still where Indiana's offense is a work in progress, but it also has a lot of potential, guys. I think with the way Indiana shot and moved the basketball was a big, big plus, even though I thought they didn't play well.
If Indiana can keep hitting shots like that, it doesn't have to be the same guys, but if guys can keep hitting shots like that, you know, I don't think Race is going to hit four consistently, but if they can hit shots like that, it does open up things on the offensive end. We've been asking for that for years. If Kopp can get looks, I mean, the thing is, Kopp could have been doing this a few other games, but there are games where he's just not getting looks because guys are overplaying it. It happened at Rutgers. You know, they're overplaying it, doesn't get any great shots, and, you know, you got to do stuff to open him up. He got them against Arizona and he made them. And you were right, Jared, that, you know, he's just got to consistently take those when he's open, and he will. I mean, he's got that mentality this year that he's just going to gun, and he should. This offense needs that, and so you feel good about him taking those. It's just, can other guys be consistent as well? Tamar has looked better over the last couple weeks of shooting, and so has a Race, obviously. So, and Galloway as well, but guys need to be able to knock him down. You know, Xavier Johnson's not shooting the way he did last year at the end of last year so far, but again, he didn't do that till the end of last year. It wasn't all.
He's actually shooting better than he was last year, which is
right,
crazy.
No, but not. But he's done a lot of that work in the games they didn't need him to. So
yeah, true.
You know, it's he's got to be able to step up in the bigger games to do that, and it's harder. He's facing bigger, more athletic guys in those games, and he shoots it from his chest. You know, and so it's going to be harder to get the ball off, and he's got to create his own space.
And our threes are kick out threes, or Race hit the pick and pop, which was nice to see too. But that is dependent on getting in the lane. Well, you got guys blocks and elbows. You got five guys sitting in the lane. That's hard to get drive and kick threes too. And we know that's what Woodson likes, that standing, spacing, shooting.
The only way you're getting them now is the post-up threes and the double team, or the post-up back to the basket, and the double team comes, and that's how you're getting them.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'll mention here as we end this segment and as we lead into our talk about Kansas is obviously the big question is, will Jalen Hood-Schifino play? You know, I don't think any of us necessarily think he would have been the difference in winning and losing against Arizona, but he would have made a difference in how that game went. You know, and so obviously I think we all understand how important he is to Indiana. And Mike Woodson was asked about him today at media availability and said, well, you know, we're going to let him practice today, kind of go bang a little bit and see how he responds to it. And so it sounds like there's a little bit of optimism that he may be ready to go. Obviously, Indiana has two games against sub-200 competition coming up after this game, and then not another game until January 5th. So there is a huge gap for Indiana. And so, you know, if you can play him, you know, against Kansas and get 15, 20 minutes out of him, obviously his conditioning won't be, you know, where it needs to be. But if you can get him out there, he would be a big help. And then he's going to have several weeks to rest after that before Big Ten play. So, you know, I think, and we'll talk about this with Tate when he gets here, I'll feel much better about Indiana's chances to compete if you have Jalen out there. You know, as
even just
as odd, you know what, and you know what the thing is, as odd as it is to say, I honestly think having him as a freshman might have settled Indiana down a little bit. Like X gets a little bit more sped up than Jalen does sometimes, even as a fifth year senior. And there's a calmness to the way that Jalen plays. You know, we saw it against North Carolina, his first just massive moment, and he came right out and just took the game over at the beginning.
His heart
of that
rate
game.
Doesn't get sped up. His heart rate doesn't get
sped up.
And
some guys are just like that, you know?
One of the big things about that game against Arizona, and Coach, I know you were there and you would see it and you're probably screaming internally, was Trey Galloway and X got playing way too fast off the jump.
Yeah.
They played way too fast. And it's Arizona plays very fast. And that's what do is they sucker you into playing at your pace. And you're down 10 points in the first half. Take a deep breath, run your offense and get a bucket. You're not going to get all 10 points back in one possession, you know, start to chip away. And they didn't do that. They started going up and down the floor with them. They started, you know, overrunning cuts, you know,
over dribbling
offs. Yeah. I mean, instead of just slowing down, and that's your point guard. That's your job, is to get everybody to take a breath and do what they're supposed to do. Run your best play, get a bucket. And then that calms everything down. Be able to come back with a defense that's set up instead of a live ball situation where they're bursting up the floor off a rebound. So, yeah, they can't do that. Can't get sped up. Indiana doesn't play that way.
A couple things it gives a chance if X is struggling to have him off the ball if he's on the court or come sit by Woodson and get a little instruction. And you just couldn't do that in the last couple of games with Hood-Schifino out.
Yep.
But he also helps rebounding. Rutgers, Arizona, I've talked incessantly enough about guard rebounding when the guards get rebounds, but he's that guy. Ryan mentioned defensively, so we're all going to look at Jalen as a calming influence offensively, but you're going to put him on the best wing, and his length is needed to help defensively, but then rebounding and getting out on the break, I think our transition offense is better because he looks to make things happen. As opposed to, you know, wanting to drive in and take shots that are not there. And you know, if he wasn't a true freshman, you might call him our best basketball point guard or guard perimeter just from that executing offense, which is what Indiana did not do against Arizona. They were just kind of helter-skelter, and when shots went in, they made their runs, and when it didn't, Arizona was able to get some distance.
Yep. All right, well, coming up here on Assembly Call Radio, it is time to dive into Saturday's game against Kansas, and we will have a special guest here with us, Tate Frazier from Titus and Tate, to help us break down Indiana's matchup on Saturday. Stick around.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tate.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Good
what's going on, here. Man?
Love the LMU shirt. Come on.
Yeah,
I'm a big Marymount fan.
Yeah, I'm a booster for LMU. I have to put that on the table. You know what I mean? So we're all fair and balanced here. You know, they helped us get into the Final Four last year. Shout out to their AD Craig for hooking us up. So yeah, love LMU. They're the best.
Nice.
Very nice. I figured I wear Adidas, right? I'm coming on with the Indiana guys.
There you go.
That's right. I wanted to be on brand.
That's right. It's Indiana, Kansas. Got to have some Adidas.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Cool. We'll do a little intro music, hop in here to segment two, and then we will talk a little IU Kansas.
Perfect.
And I saw Bill Titus just retweeted. So.
Oh, yeah. He's locked in. Anytime I talk about the Hoosiers, he's like, I'll be there. I'm like, all right. He makes sure that I say nice things. If not, he'll come after me.
All right, let's do this here. Here we go.
Hi, this is James Blackman Jr. I never miss an open three, and I never miss an episode of The Assembly Call. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers!
Thank you, James. Welcome back to the Assembly Call. I'm Jared Morris here with Coach Brian Tonsoni, Ryan Phillips, and our special guest, Tate Frazier from Titus and Tate, to break down Indiana's upcoming matchup with Kansas. Before we get to that real quick, our main segment tonight brought to you by our new sponsor, True Blood Real Estate, Jim True Blood, a longtime friend of mine. Actually, the first guy that I ever went to an NCAA tournament game with. He is the founder and owner of True Blood Real Estate, where he has been helping people in Indiana buy and sell real estate properties since 2006. And starting this season, True Blood Real Estate is the exclusive and official real estate partner of IU Athletics, with a team of talented agents to serve you in Bloomington and throughout Indiana. If you are looking to buy or sell real estate in Indiana, you need to experience the True Blood advantage. Go to TrueBloodRE.com to learn more. That's TrueBloodRE.com, and tell them the Assembly Call sent you. All righty. Well, Tate, welcome to the Assembly Call,
yeah.
Man. We've had Mark on a couple times,
yes.
But now we've got the Titus and Tate better half here. So it's good to have
you. Yeah, you
got
to have the native son, Mark Titus, on here, of course. And shout out to Coach Titus, his father, a proud Hoosier that has, indoctrinated me a little bit to Hoosier culture, got me up to speed. So I appreciate him. And I'll be honest with you, that jingle for True Blood got me fired up. So I'm happy to be here, fellas.
That is awesome. Well, we are going to talk about IU Kansas. We're going to talk a little bit about if Indiana's victory over North Carolina is going to age well, because I feel like you may have a little bit of insight there. But first, Don Fisher.
Shot is up. Missed it. Oh, no. Boozer. He missed. Tip up now. No, get him. He got it. And it was. The Boozers have three stones.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Boozers have beaten Duke.
That's something everybody on this program right now can get behind.
Right,
I know.
Right.
Every time I listen to their show and they do the Woody Durham, I'm always like, we got to do that for Don Fisher.
So. I love that so much. That just warmed my heart. And, it is great. Like, that is one thing. A lot of people will bring up Duke to me, and, they'll be like, God, you just hate him so much. And I'm like, isn't it great that we all can come together over one school and one culture, right? It's good. It's good for college basketball. So thank you, Duke. I appreciate that.
It does bring us all together. That's for sure. So let's start with this. I thought you and Mark had a really interesting conversation on your last show that just came out, talking about the Indiana-Arizona game. And obviously, just like we were, lots of plaudits for Arizona because they are, awesome and can beat you in so many different ways. But as you guys were talking about Indiana, you were talking about how it doesn't feel like this Indiana team really knows exactly how it wants to play. Like it can do some different things. And it's funny because we've talked about that on the show where it's like, this team at certain points this year has been good about taking what the game is going to give it. And so, you know, some games they've been able to play on the inside and Trace has dominated. Other games they've shot threes. And I was interested to kind of hear that from your guys' perspective as something that in a big game against a team like Arizona can kind of hurt Indiana as they're kind of trying to find that identity. So I'd love for you to unpack that a little bit. You know, just kind of what your general thoughts are on this IU team.
Yeah, right now. My first thought is, did Trace Jackson Davis opt out after the Carolina game? Because it looks like he did. It seems like, you know, he's done with it, and he has entered the draft portal. No, I'm kidding. I want Trace to get it back, and I also think that Kansas is a great game for him to get it back because, you know, they don't have a true big on this team. Indiana's a lot bigger, you know, literally with their size, and I think that you just played the best front court in the country, right? I mean, I saw Arizona firsthand in Maui. Those two guys, Tubelis and Balo, I mean, it's hard to keep up with those guys. And to have Trace on Balo the entire game, playing, battling, bumping, all that sort of stuff, it's taxing. So, and Tubelis running the floor, having to deal with that. I mean, he just saw the best. So I think when he goes up against Kansas, I'm hoping that he lights a little bit of a fire. He'll be in Allen Fieldhouse. That crowd, that environment, that atmosphere will get him going because Trace is one of the best players in the country. I hope that he clicks back in. I think I saw over the last three games, he's averaging 12 points a game. That's not what you want to see. The Rutgers game was not what, you know, that was the most frustrating game to me. Arizona, you can kind of explain it a little bit. I actually like the fight of this Indiana group. I liked how they battled back in that game. And, you know, it's great to have versatility, but you need an identity. And I think that's really the conversation that you were pointing to with Titus and I. We're still trying to figure out what that identity is. We know we have the talent. We know we have a face of the franchise, so to speak, in Trace Jackson Davis. But, you know, when Hood Schifino gets back, I think that Indiana is a really dangerous, fun team. And maybe that helps with the identity a little bit because he can be a star, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, as we were talking about, you know, there is some optimism that he'll be able to play on Saturday, and he makes, you know, just a huge difference for this team. What are you mentioned, you know, Kansas doesn't have a big behemoth down low like Arizona, but they obviously have a lot of talented players, you know, on that roster, terrific coach in Bill Self.
Right.
What are some of the keys for, you know, going into Allen Fieldhouse and, you know, not just competing for 40 minutes, but Indiana actually winning?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Woodson, I heard him saying 40 minutes, right? We keep hearing 40 minutes. He said he's excited for his guys to see this atmosphere because we know how great Assembly Hall is. Assembly Hall is, you know, unmatched. I would say, you know, I've never been to Allen Fieldhouse, but I have been to Assembly Hall, and Assembly Hall is number one in my mind where I've been, right, as far as atmosphere. So in that sense, I think Indiana will understand it, what they're witnessing and what they're playing in. I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed by it, right? They get what's going on. And they need to play inside out, and they need to play through Trace Jackson Davis. And I think KJ Adams will be probably the guy that's on him, but I'm not really sure for Kansas. You know, we'll see what happens. But KJ Adams has kind of been their rim protector, so to speak. He's only 6'7", though. And if you're Trace Jackson Davis, take a little pride in this moment in time and say, you know, I'm going to dominate this game. And if you do dominate this game as Trace Jackson Davis, now we're talking about national player. Like you're elevating the conversation for yourself and for Indiana on a big stage. And Kansas has been hot. They won three straight. They just blew out Missouri. You know, Jalen Wilson is one of those guys that's in the National Player of the Year conversation. So you go head to head with him. They don't really have a traditional big to go up against you. You know, play inside out, feed him the ball, and maybe you go a little bit Archie Miller with it. As much as we don't want to use that term.
No,
let's play through Trace Jackson Davis. Let's make him primary. Let's get him as many touches as possible, as many shots as possible. Let's get them in foul trouble. I mean, I think that's it's as simple as that. Let's win the rebounding battle and let's play big and let's, you know, kind of impose our will a little bit on a team that's smaller, younger, still trying to figure out their identity. I think they're more of a finesse team than a power team that they've been in the past with, you know, as a Azubuike and guys like that. So this could be a good opportunity for Kansas to kind of bounce back after Arizona.
Thank you.
Archie appreciates the nice comment.
Is Indiana's kryptonite that power team, that Rutgers sag in the lane, defensive presence, Arizona with two bigs, you know, and this game might be a better chance for Indiana to attack that lane and feed that post because of the things you mentioned. But is that Indiana's kryptonite, those big, strong post presence teams that'll just say, go ahead and shoot from outside. We're not letting you get in the lane.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the good news for if I was Mike Woodson after the Arizona game, I go in the locker room and say, guys, we're not going to see any better duo than that all season. So you just saw the best. Now we know what the best looks like. We didn't even play well. We didn't have a guy like Huchefino who could be an X factor in that game. I think you can spin it in a positive way where you hope that you learn from that game. And then when you go up against the Hunter Dickinsons of the world and these other bigs in the Big Ten, they might not seem as scary because I don't think anyone is in the condition of those Arizona bigs. I mean, they are unbelievable, and it just keeps coming and keeps coming. And in fact, like sometimes in games, they get bored, as we saw. I mean, they ripped off 17 straight against Indiana, and then they kind of let you guys get back in the game a little bit. But I think you've already seen the best. That's a good thing. But you also should be one of the best. As you, I mean, Trayce Jackson-Davis should have got a lot of confidence. He dominated Bacot, right? They're supposed to be peers. They're supposed to be on the same level. You dominated that matchup. You get humbled in another matchup with Arizona. Let's learn from that. You're still one of the best bigs in the country. Let's play like that. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. Let's play inside out.
Yeah, you know, this game Saturday, obviously, you know, playing at Allen Fieldhouse is, I mean, it's a nearly impossible place to win. And so it's an uphill battle. You know, I do think Indiana's going to have, you know, an opportunity. Trayce is going to have an opportunity to get some stuff done. What concerns me is, you know, how does Indiana defend Jalen Wilson, and what do you do with Grady Dick? Because, you know, this has been a team that, you know, guys on the perimeter who can go inside out. You know, Indiana struggled with some of those guys, you know, especially without, you know, Jalen Huchefino. Race Thompson has not been quite the level of defender this year that we've seen in the past. So I'm, you know, I'm kind of concerned there. What do you think Indiana does with those two guys who obviously can, you know, score with the best of them?
Yeah, what's worrisome about Kansas is that they can put up a lot of points, obviously, and they're going to be comfortable playing at home. And even some of the guys that they bring off the bench can be scary. And I think Kevin McCullough, he just had 21 points. That was his, you know, career high at Kansas so far. So, you know, he's a guy that came from Texas Tech, knows how to play basketball, and is sort of, you know, figuring out his role within this team. Grady Dick, I mean, he's going to have a 30-point game probably this season before it's all said and done. So he is someone that can completely take over this game. That is the only thing that is worrisome. But I think Indiana's got a defensive identity. I think that they, you know, I think they can kind of batten down the hatches, so to speak, on that end of the floor and maybe make some of these young guys, you know, with that Big Ten physicality, you know, playing against the Big 12. Maybe you get into Grady Dick a little bit. He gets a little bit flustered, you know. And they're playing a quality opponent in you guys as well, and they've been cruising a little bit, and they're coming off Missouri, who they just absolutely bludgeoned. And, you know, that those are good things as far as, like, you're coming on a bounce-back game. Kansas has been riding a little bit of a high. They're still a young team. They're still figuring things out. And they have no consistent scoring option outside of Jalen Wilson. And, you know, if he ends up taking 20, 25 shots, that might not be the worst thing, you know, because they're getting a little bit too, you know, iso-centric at times. And if you ask Bill Self how he wants to play with this team, he's still trying to figure it out, I think. I think he's still trying to figure out who is that guy. They want it to be Grady Dick, but he's still a freshman. And Wilson is, like we said, a National Player of the Year candidate. So, in general, I could just, in my head, I can see Kansas struggling a little bit in this game to find their footing. So that's kind of just how I feel about Kansas right now.
Okay. I think that's a good note to end on. That's a nice positive note to send us into Saturday.
We're winning on Saturday.
I know. Let's go. So Tate, you know, I don't know if you saw, but the Big Lead recently did their, you know, sports media awards, and Titus and Tate was up for best sports podcast. However, the Big Lead made the mistake of choosing Ryan Russillo. I mean, great podcast. Ryan Russillo has a great podcast, but they could have chosen the best college basketball podcast. Do you have any words for Ryan Phillips, who is a senior writer on the Big Lead?
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah, please, Ryan.
Was not my vote.
Okay. Love that.
I won't reveal who I voted for because, you know, sanctity of the voting booth. Mm. But
respect.
Russillo was not my vote. I'm just putting that out there.
I mean, look, the real winner here is Kyle Crichton, a.k.a. Producer Kyle, a.k.a. Nephew Kyle. He is the producer of Once One Shining Podcast with Titus and I, and the producer of the Ryan Russillo podcast. So anything Kyle touches is gold. You know, that's what I was happy for. I'm happy he won. Russillo's a great guy. He's always been very nice. So Ryan, I'm upset that you didn't throw some votes out on our behalf, but I'll get past it. I'll move on.
There's always next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were shocked when we saw it. We laughed because we were like, this must be wrong. Like, who did this?
Like, did he actually listen?
Yeah, is this
year?
Photoshop? Someone tweeted that. Who did this? Who mean this? But no, we were very excited. And look, we like to be nominated. We're great nominees. We might not be great winners. We might be talking too much.
Well, when we turn into an eventual award show, I'll give it to you guys just so I can hear the acceptance speech.
We'll do whatever we need to do. We'll do bits in the crowd. We'll do man on the street, whatever you want.
Ryan, didn't you get nominated for a Duffy once for like sports headline of the year?
Yeah. About Titus going after Rothstein.
Right. Right. Yeah. Appreciate that. We love those stories. We the Duffys are important, so we appreciate your journalism.
I listen every year. So I had to ask, we were talking about this with Arizona, and I was saying, I've watched Arizona, I watched them in Maui, and then I watched them play Indiana, and I don't have time to watch all their games, but they look to me like as good as anybody when they're on. Who's the best team you've seen this year, Tate?
Yeah, I mean, after Maui, I was like, Arizona is the best team in the country. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I think Connecticut is probably the right answer right now. I think Connecticut hasn't even really been challenged. They beat the brakes off of Alabama. If they played Carolina in the PK Invitational, or whatever he's calling it now, I call it the PK 85, they would have blown them out. They blew out Florida at Florida. They're just like a really connected group, even though they have a bunch of transfers and, you know, guys that have grown into their roles and things like that. So, and I like Klingon off the bench, this freshman, and having a 7-2 guy off the bench, and having, they have the best second unit. I think they have the best depth in the country. UConn does. So I really like that group. Arizona, though, like I said, I don't see any team, maybe other than UConn, with the front court that can really match up with Tubelis and Balo. And funny enough, Sanogo, who is UConn's big, is also from Mali. So both of these guys are from the same country, Balo and Sanogo. So they're eventually going to probably face each other, probably in the Final Four. And they're both from this really small island. So that's crazy in and of itself. But then, those are probably the two teams. And then a team that's kind of outside right now of the top five that I think could really sneak in and do something in March, even though I don't really believe in their coaches, Tennessee. I think Tennessee's guard play, I love their defense. Obviously, we all love their defense, but I really think that they have three true point guards that if you gave me Zakai Ziegler on Arizona, I'd say that they'd win the championship. My problem with Arizona is that Kerr Creasa, who we all love, could lose a game out of pride, out of, you know, whatever it is, ego, whatever it is. He could lose you a game.
I listened to you guys last year talking about him against UCLA, where he shot like he took like 20 shots
something. He's like 1 for 17 or something.
Yeah. And I remember listening to that, and I'm like, I just hope he does that against Indiana. And then he was knocking everything down.
Right.
Like,
right. I mean, you hope that you get the best of Kerr, but I wish like there was just a more stable guard in that backcourt, because Courtney Ramey, who they brought from Texas, who we all remember from Texas, is kind of the same way, a little bit of a spitfire, not always as reliable. And I just love Tennessee's guards. I think they're under control. And that, you know, that's obviously great to have, you know, in your back pocket when it comes to March.
You know, you were talking about all the teams that, you know, have bigs and could possibly compete with Arizona. And there are a bunch of annoying voices 2 hours to, you know, north of Bloomington that are chirping right now, wondering why you didn't mention them.
Well, see,
how do you think they stack up against those teams?
Well, Boilermakers, I made a promise after last year when they got to number one in the country, and I talked them up, and, you know, they'd beaten Carolina. So I wanted to make sure that everyone knew how good they were to make that loss look good. I saw the pain in their faces as it was all slipping away, and I watched the St. Peter's game, and I just don't want to put the pressure on Purdue, even though they're number one in the country. I would like them to fly under the radar, and that's me being kind, because I really like Matt Painter. I think Matt Painter is a great basketball coach. I think he's a good person to have in college basketball. I think he's a straight shooter, right? I just think that he comes from, funny enough, the Bob Knight School of basketball coaching, which is the fundamental base. We run actual offense, and you know, we play the right way, so to speak. So I want Purdue to figure it out. I think Zach Edey's story is amazing. I mean, he starts playing basketball at 15. We can all see how much better he's gotten. It's insane. So he's an amazing story. But
I was just teeing you up for jokes. Yeah, serious positive Purdue analysis.
Know, look, I'm just trying to be nice to him. But at the end of the day, we can't trust Purdue in March. We know this. I mean, that's North Texas, St. Peter's. I mean,
Little Rock.
The track record is there. And I don't like to keep, you know, harping on it for all our Purdue fans out there. But since I'm on an Indiana show, we can bring up all those things.
Just keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Purdue is officially the best team in the country that doesn't win.
There you go. See, said well by one Mark Titus.
That's a great soundbite. I thought he was literally on the call. I was like, did I just call him?
He's just hanging out. He's in the back. He's in the green room.
He's always listening. Here. He's ready. Yeah.
Tate, I got to ask this. How's your, like, how many points lower is your blood pressure now that Coach K is no longer in college basketball?
Mr. K.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
The dog is not coaching, thank goodness. Coach K the dog. No, Mr. K slash Coach K, the artist formerly known.
Let's just call him Mike.
Yeah, Mike, Mr. Mike, Magic Mike. He, just the fact that it ended the way that it did, I feel like things have been a little worrisome at times in North Carolina, you know, sports after the fact. But it's because we all made so many deals with the devil that day and with God that day, whoever you were praying to at the time. I mean, the Duke fans are praying to the devil, obviously. But we, you know, the conversations I was having with God, I'll tell you this. I mean, I'm in the building in New Orleans, and I'm like, I'll lose for 10 straight years if you just give us this one. You know what I mean? I'm just like, just give us this one. We got to have this one. I want to own this forever. And, you know, when Caleb hit that shot, my mom was there, my brother. I mean, it was just like, you know, so many friends in the building. I mean, it was just like cathartic. And I knew that there was going to be some sort of karma on the other side. But like you said, not having to look at him, not having to hear about him, other than when he goes to the Heisman ceremony for no reason. We don't know why.
Was he really at the Heisman ceremony?
He literally got a Heisman trophy himself. He did not play college football, at least that I did not see that this year, even though Duke had a good season. Yeah, Mr. K being out of college basketball and simultaneously out of my face is it is honestly a blessing. And the fact that every time I see him, I laugh, right? When I used to see him, he used to make me sick, like I wanted to throw up. And now when I see him, I just laugh. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like when you get over your fear, like you're scared of clowns. And then eventually you're just like, it's just a guy behind a mask, right? And that's kind of what happened with me and Coach K. You know, it's a good feeling now. Now he makes me happy.
We're all happy for you, man. Seriously.
Yeah, I have to keep reminding people that it happened because, you know, it doesn't feel real. I have to pinch myself sometimes. But the tape doesn't lie. I've watched that game too many times.
I was going to say, you could not have gamed it out better. Quite frankly.
Right, right. It felt like it was like a Jordan brand, like marketing strategy. Right? I mean, it was unbelievable. I don't know how it worked, but it worked. Thank God.
So speaking of Carolina and the deal that you made with some higher power to get
right, whatever now, you believe in, right?
Yeah, that is now kind of coming back, and we're seeing the flip side of it. Mm-hmm. How is that win going to age for Indiana? Like, is this Carolina team going to get it going? What do you think the future holds?
Yeah, I think so. The last two games, despite, you know, no one watching, rightfully so, you shouldn't watch. I mean, this team should be put on ice for the national public, right, after what they've done. They've betrayed all of our trust to open the season. But they're just not a November team. But Georgia Tech game was very inspiring. Hubert benched Caleb Love in the first half for being selfish. Seth Trimble came into the game, was great. He and RJ were great. Caleb came back in the second half. He's playing great defense. He's getting steals. He's taking good shots. And like the real secret to Caleb Love is if Caleb Love is catching the ball and shooting, yes. If Caleb Love is dribbling and shooting, no. It's as simple as that. He wants to be a point guard because that's what the NBA is telling him, but he's really a shooting guard. And then when he plays shooting guard and RJ plays point guard, it's the same problem we had last year, which is why it's so funny. And then against the Citadel, they put up 100 points. The bench came in. Tyler Nickel, a freshman, had 16 points in the second half, showed some life, had people saying he looked like Brady Manick hitting threes, right? So they need three-point shooting. I think they're going to get better. I hope that they show up on Saturday in Madison Square Garden. And if they beat Ohio State and then beat Michigan in the next game, they get two nice wins over big-time programs. They go into the ACC. They're okay. They kind of salvage this run, and I think you're going to be all right. And if they go 13-5 in the ACC like they did last year, they better not be an 8 seed because that drove me crazy. And Indiana, that's always going to be a loss. It should have been the first loss of the season, But we all knew that was going to be a loss. I know I did. And every Carolina fan watching that game, granted, you guys blew us out so fast it wasn't even a game. But we knew that wasn't going to happen anyway. So I think it'll be fine in the end. I think you guys will look back and say, yeah, we beat Carolina. That was a nice win.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, I'm knocking on wood. Yeah. I'm talking about higher being again. You know, I'm doing all that.
It is funny that Indiana has played North Carolina the last three times at Assembly Hall in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and they've kind of dominated them. And it's weird because those are all good, you know, North Carolina teams. It's just a bad place for them to play. I think it feels that way. I mean, I'm sure it would be the reverse if Indiana was going down to North Carolina too.
It just happened to be our three most talented teams of the last decade.
That's true. So. That part is true as well. Yeah. It just lined up well. You guys
remember
us bad years.
I remember James. I was the same age as James Michael McAdoo, and James Michael went to play at Assembly Hall when you guys had Zeller and, you know, Cody and like watching that game, like even he has a podcast now and he was talking about it. He was like, I'm like, who is this guy just getting absolutely abused? You know what I mean? He's like talking about himself rewatching the game. I mean, we just got absolutely I've never seen anything like it. It was just like, not even a chance.
It was that team that was like preseason number one. It was their first chance to show off,
right?
Too,
right.
And they just went nuts. And
and historically, Indiana has some sort of weird psychological edge over Carolina. It's like one of the schools in the blue, like Kansas is the same way, right? It's like one of the schools in the blue blood world that they just kind of have your number for whatever reason. Like last year, the national championship, it was amazing to beat Duke. And I was praying to God that Villanova was going to win the game because I wanted revenge on Villanova from 2016.
Right.
I did not want to see Kansas in the same way. I never want to see Indiana. When Carolina played Indiana in 2016 in the tournament, I was like, they're going to lose. Granted, they didn't that time. I was pretty shocked by it, but I expect freaking Dan Dockage beat Michael Jordan, right? That says enough about the psychological advantage of Indiana over North Carolina.
And he'll never let you forget about it.
Right, right.
He's never brought that up since.
Let that go, please. Everyone, maybe we erase that. Maybe we give it to someone else.
Redding Steve Alford, it's
not Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Coach, did you have a question?
I'm just curious. You watch a lot of basketball besides North Carolina. For us, it's Indiana. Are there programs that you just really enjoy seeing in person around the country? And how do you organize that so that you can talk national basketball?
Right. Yeah, it was – I got really lucky. So when I went to Carolina, I had – my brother was 4 years older, and one of his best friends was going to work at ESPN. And I started working at a radio station in Raleigh, David Glenn Show, when I was 18. And, you know, at the radio station, they were like, lean into your fandom, your Carolina guy, people call in, whatever, you know. And then I started working for Inside Carolina, and they were like, you are not a fan, right? And then I was a journalism major, so they're like, cut all that out. So I kind of lived both sides of the, you know, I was covering it. So then I was like, don't look like it, you know, try to be objective as possible. I try to look at other teams. If anything, I try to find the things wrong with Carolina, you know, and that was kind of the outlook. And then that helped when I got into, you know, I started working for Bill Simmons, who's like, lean into Carolina. You hate Duke. Da, 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 you know? So, I'm like, right, that checks out. But then also I had gotten used to kind of just like being a reporter and watching all these other teams. And I just love college basketball anyway. So it made it easier to kind of make that transition to talking about all the teams because I did that anyway. And as far as programs that I really – you know, enjoy covering or enjoy kind of being around and seeing, you know, kind of who they are. I really enjoy UCLA. You know, not Steve Alford, unfortunately, but the Mick Cronin era that came after. I've enjoyed Coach Cronin. I think he's a little bit of a throwback. Tommy Lloyd, who we just saw in Maui, just watching the way that Tommy Lloyd runs his program in Arizona and kind of the guy he is. I think Tony Bennett at Virginia, right? I mean, they're a rival. I think, you know, that's the way that he does things and the way that he runs a program. I have to respect Jay Wright, who obviously just left the game, but Villanova was always, you know, I applied to Villanova. One of my best friends growing up, his parents both went to Villanova. So I like Villanova. I respected how Jay Wright ran his program. It's somewhere where, you know, you can just point to them. Tom Izzo at Michigan State, someone I point to. I think that you know, he has a high quality program the way he does things. So, and it's fun because you learn about the little intricacies of why each school is who they are and what the little things, you know, about their team that gets people going. And, you know, when you talk about college basketball is regional. So when you talk about it nationally, you're always going to have blind spots. You're always going to be an idiot. You're everyone that watches it and follows it is going to know way more than you. Right. So you just kind of you deal with that. And if anything, right, when I am an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about and someone's like, this guy plays more, da da da, I'm just like, all right, tell me that. And then when I'm watching, I'm you know, now I'm picking up what you're putting down. Now we're having a conversation. You know, it's like it's national, but then when you get into the nitty gritty, it gets regional and you get to deal with and enjoy the real fans. Cause I think fans are a dying breed in sports in general, like true fans. And I think in college basketball specifically, these are diehard fans. Like if you go talk to a Connecticut fan right now, they're going to tell you everything. I mean, they're going to tell you why they're not going to win. They're going to tell you that they need a Kimba. They need a Shabazz type of guy. We don't have a closer, right? You're like, this is great, right? But nationally, I can just say UConn's pretty damn good. They beat the hell out of everybody, you know? and then that Connecticut fan will yell at me, but it's like, it's a nice banter back and forth. And it's the best sport in the world to me. I think it's the best and I'll argue anybody that, so. That's great.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, because we
right. Agree, that's why I like Indiana people though, because you guys get. It's not like I'm not speaking a foreign language. You're like, of course, right? It's not. You don't need to be explained because you get it already. And that's kind of. There's so many programs like that in college basketball, and programs that are becoming that, right? Like Houston is becoming that again, where like people in the city of Houston are like, you know, we love Cougars basketball. And it's like, great. That's what we want. Want people bought in.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like what you just said really sums up the ethos of your show and why we recommend it to everybody, because there's a lot of arrogance on national college basketball podcasts. I still listen to them because you get some good information. There's a lot of arrogance. I think you guys approach the sport with a humility and an appreciation for the intricacies, you know, and kind of a celebration. Like I always say, you guys have the ability to point out and celebrate the absurdities of college basketball. You know?
Right.
And sometimes you have to laugh at them and appreciate them at the same time, because it can be a ridiculous sport. But you guys do it better than anybody, and that's why we love your show.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Pearl said character counts. I think characters count. I think we need characters in college basketball. I think it helps with the beauty of the sport. I think that's what we all want. It makes it unique. And when people have their own style, like look at the NBA, like not to, you know, whatever, but the NBA, they all play the same way now, right? There's no unique styles. They all wear the same colors. Like every single week, they got a different color, different jerseys. Like it's the same product 30 different times the same night. You watch college basketball, like, I mean, good God, like why? I mean, watch how some of these teams play. Like, you know, watch Bellarmine pass the ball to each other, right? I mean, they don't even dribble. And then, you know, go watch an ISO heavy team. Go watch an Arkansas with all these freak out. Like, there's so many different styles. There's so many different characters in sport. It's the best. It's hard to beat.
It is.
Hey, man, last question for you, if you have time. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about this new podcast project that you just put out. I saw you tweet about it. Basically, the story of five-star basketball, right? Can you tell us about that and how to listen to it?
Yeah, so it's called The World of Five Star. I basically for 2 years interviewed, 70-some coaches, 200-some players, you know, and then LeBron James's production company, Uninterrupted, and Slam, obviously Slam Magazine, put it out. Came out last year, actually, but it's a 6-part series.
It came out last camp. Year? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. This is the one-year anniversary of it, but I'm narrating it. We wrote and produced it, my company, and it was a lot of fun. I got to talk to Coach K face to face. He said he heard that I did an impression of him, and I told him he heard wrong. it was a really fun project. I learned so much about the game. I mean, Coach Hubie Brown still calls me, like he was one of the main counselors at the camp, and I think like outside of Chuck Taylor, there's no one that's more important than basketball than Hubie Brown. And nope. You know, just having that wealth of knowledge and hearing the stories about, you know, just like Al McGuire and Dean Smith, you know, hanging out with John Wooden at a table in a back bar and like explaining why they like to do this on a zone press or whatever. So it's like it's a lot of just nerdy basketball stuff. It's a lot of amazing stories. We did a limited series. It was only 6 episodes. We're hoping to do something more with it, maybe like a TV show where it's kind of a narrative, but these coaches are played, you know, it means nice. Rick Pitino, he's a young man, Calipari when he's a young man, right? It's a lot of great stories. So it's called The World of Five Star. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. And appreciate you shouting that out, man.
Thanks. Absolutely. The World of Five Star. All right. We'll link that up in the show notes. Tate, really appreciate you taking the time. Glad we were able to do this. Huge fans of your show. Everybody listen to Titus and Tate. And good luck to North Carolina. As you said, Indiana fans should all be Carolina fans. So we're all aligned this season.
Right, right. We're moving the same direction. And I want Indiana to beat the blood out of everybody like they did to Carolina. So, you know, that's I was pulling for them against Arizona just so I could say to Titus, hey, look at Indiana, right? So we're right on the same page, and I appreciate you guys. And if you ever need me to come on and sound stupid, I'm right here. One call away.
Appreciate you.
We have Mark come on to sound stupid. We call you for the actual analysis.
The highbrow analysis.
I appreciate that. Thanks, fellas.
All right. The great Tate Frazier, everybody. Thank you, Tate. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. I hope you guys have a good weekend, and I hope that they show up. I hope I don't sound dumb if Kansas comes out and they're just barraging threes. But I really think that inside, Trey should have a big game. So pulling for you.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. Our weekend will be dictated by how that game goes early Saturday.
So will mine. So will mine. Yeah. We'll be on the same page. Perfect.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all.
All right. Thanks, Tate.
I'm going to hit it. Have a great night. Yep.
Cool. Take care, man. The great Tate Frazier. That was good. Yeah. That was real good. Good insight.
Great. Glad having him. Finally. Very good insight. Right? We've been almost having him. We almost had him a couple
times. Yeah, it didn't work out a couple weeks ago, but yeah, now we were able to do it. So very good. Okay, that was our conversation with Tate Frazier talking IU Kansas. We got a lot of really good mailbag questions, like serious hoops questions. We're going to dive into those next here on the Assembly Call. So stick with us. Segment 3 coming right up.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Devontae. I'm Jared Morris here with Coach Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips. It is time for segment 3, our mailbag. We're going to answer a bunch of questions that were submitted inside of our private IU basketball discussion community. Before we start, I do just want to give a shout out to the community and to the work that Tony Adranya does with IU Film Room. And we've been running this promotion. We've just been kind of quiet about it for a couple weeks. But Tony and I put this up there. It's a 60-day free trial. So it's a paid community because we want it to be just for serious IU fans. But we decided to do like a long trial so you can come in, try it out. That gives you access to all the normal community stuff, all of my analysis posts, all of Tony's just incredible film work. It really will make you a smarter, more informed, IU basketball fan. And there's just a great community in there. Not to mention all of Coach's Corner stuff, our weekly interviews with Mike DeCourcy. Like, we're doing a ton of stuff in there. And so we've got this 60-day free trial. So essentially, you can join. You won't pay anything for 60 days. And if you like it, stick around. It'll be, you know, it's a good value. And if you don't like it, you tried it out and, you know, you don't have to pay. So, but we want to give you a chance to try it out. Go to assemblycall.com/community. We'd love to have you in there. It's obviously going to be a fun season, you know, and so we want as many good, serious IU fans in there as possible. So assemblycall.com/community. Gentlemen, let's get to some questions. The first one from Adam, and we kind of touched on this a little bit in our conversation with Tate. What kind of role will our big men have for this Kansas game? Obviously, Trace will still play a ton, but given the lack of size for Kansas and how wide open they play offense, do we play smaller with a Jordan Geronimo or drop Galloway or Kopp to a four role and bring in another wing or guard? Offensively, we would have the edge down low, but they're far too quick when on offense for our bigs who will be guarding Wilson. So a whole lot kind of rolled up into that question. Coach, do you have thoughts on how Indiana might approach that?
Yeah, I think they're going to approach it like they've played all along. I think they're going to expect Race, Renew, Geronimo to be able to guard whoever is going to be playing the three or four that they match up with. I'm always interested in playing a little smaller. I know that doesn't help with rebounding, but boy, if you have Miller Kopp at the four and he can bang enough on a smaller lineup, that intrigues me. Because I'm a guard person, and I know Tate just said play inside out, and we have to because that's where that's the strength of the team. But I also think that we do that a little too much. And if we did play small, that might open up the inside actually by stretching the floor a little more than what our fours with Race and Renew do. So I don't think you'll see it. I think Coach Woodson has his beliefs in his rotation and who plays where, but I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Worth noting, too, Kansas has not been a great rebounding team this year. They got blown off the boards a couple times. So Indiana,
we're just
going to
see balls rolling around on
the
floor with these two.
It might be a lot of offensive rebounds in this one.
All right. Thank you for the question, Adam. From Jack Ryan, given the recent struggles, what type of defensive effort would it take for the Hoosiers to make you confident in their ability to be a top 10-15 unit throughout the rest of the year? You know, we've seen some good defense. Against North Carolina, Indiana's defense was outstanding. But there have been some other games, you know, with the defense. And Coach, I thought you had a great comment earlier. It seems like they're resting on their laurels a little bit. You know, your reputation doesn't get you very far when it comes to defense. You got to bring it every game. And so we know this team can dial it up. We're just not quite seeing them as locked in. And this is something we saw even as far back as some of the Cupcake games where we were like, is the defense really quite as good as you know, we think it is? So what's it going to take? You know, Jack's question, what's it going to take, you know, for it to be as good as we think and for this to be a top 10, 15 team?
Yeah,
you got to rebound. To me, it's rebounding because
points is big.
Yeah, even in games where Indiana was dominant and had good defensive points per possession, I think that's a great measurement. That stat as well, and we've had success there until recently. But I think that is when I'm going to say, okay, this team's back is we're finishing possessions. Like we're locked in, we're blocking out. You know, the guards are hitting people. We're going and getting the ball and getting out on the run. The other thing is just inside how they play. Like I said, the post players were letting the guys get the position and then guarding. No, you start guarding by pushing people off the block. Are the guards getting into the point guard on when they're coming off ball screen action? Or are they a step behind and then there's a lot of plays at the rim? So that attention to detail, the eye test, I guess, Jack, is what I would say. It's a good question. Because Indiana hasn't been bad. They haven't been horrible. They just haven't been good enough. But for me, the key is rebounding says you're doing the front side of defense well, and then you're doing finishing with the backside that you're locked in.
Yeah, Coach, I agree with the rebounding angle. I think that is 100%. I think that's the simplest answer to this is don't give second chance points. Don't give. Yeah. And even if they don't score on a second chance, it wears you the hell down to have to play another 20 seconds of defense. And you know, with as intensely as Indiana plays. And I remember last year we were talking about minutes with guys and saying, well, they played more minutes the year before or whatever. It's like, well, they're playing way more intensely on both ends now. It wears you down and that affects your offense too. Minutes aren't created equal. If you're playing harder, it's going to wear you down more. And what I'll say is Indiana's two losses. Rutgers, they didn't play bad defense. The defense was not the problem. The offense was the problem. Now they gave up offensive rebounds and they had, you know, some breakdowns here or there as the game got away from them at times. You're going to have breakdowns when things aren't going well on both ends. But the Kansas game, quite frankly, Kansas is going to do what they did to Indiana to pretty much everybody. You're not going to hold that team under a point per possession. You're just not. They're too good. You know, all you can hope to do is limit the damage as much as you can and score with them. I mean, that and hope it comes down late and you're able to outscore them. A lot of people have pointed to that Utah loss. That is one of those fluky college basketball scores that will not hold up to scrutiny long term, I do not think, unless something crazy happens to Kansas.
Wait, are you talking about Arizona or Kansas right now?
Arizona, I'm sorry. Did I say Kansas?
Okay, well, who's the team? Okay, so when you were saying you're not going to be able to stop them, you were talking about Arizona.
I'm talking Arizona. Kansas, I'm right? Sorry, did I say okay. Kansas? Kansas yeah. Is on my mind. No, I meant Arizona. Okay. Like, you're not going to hold Arizona under a point per possession. I'm sorry. I was talking about their two losses, so that was the...
Okay.
Arizona is going to do that to everybody, I think. And so what you're going to have to do against Kansas is that's a team I think you can slow down to some degree. They're not Arizona, I don't think, statistically. Unless they shoot the absolute lights out, you're going to have a chance to stop that team. And they're super talented, so it's going to be difficult. But the path is there, and it's right. You got to rebound. You've got to, you know, make sure your ball screen defense is correct. You've got to make sure you're competing together. And the thing is, you got to make sure your offense is flowing, too, to take some pressure off that defense so you don't have to be perfect every single time. And those are the, you know, because people try and separate offense and defense, and it's one game. You know, there are certain things you can be better at and worse at and all that, but one definitely affects the other.
From Mike, they say Trace can shoot 15 to 18 footers in practice. Why have we not seen him shoot them in the games? Don't you think it is a key to just how far this team can go? No, I don't think it's a key because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen in the cupcake games or exhibition games, he's not going to bust it out now in Big Ten play. And I think it's pretty clear. It's an unnatural basketball like action for him because when he's out on the court and he's open, he doesn't look at the basket. Like he put one up against Arizona, but it's just not something that he's comfortable enough with in games. And a lot of guys can do stuff, you know, like in the gym or in practice, but at the speed, what can you do at game speed against good teams? And that's just not part of it. So, yeah, in an ideal world, he'd be able to step out like Alan Henderson, hit the 16-footer, and that would be great. But, I mean, I don't think it's the key because Indiana can score other ways and Trace can still be a productive player. And, it was a fun topic of conversation in the offseason, but what do we say all offseason? You know, we've been talking about this for 3 years. It's probably not actually going to happen in games.
I will say, after 3 years of pitching it, his right hand actually looks good finally. You know, we were told before his sophomore year, no, his right hand looks real good. Didn't see it. Junior year, right hand looks real good. No, it actually looks pretty good. So baby steps. We got something. We didn't get the 18-foot jumper. But we got something. I'm okay with it.
Ryan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You're the shot doctor, but you've got to be in rhythm, and part of the rhythm is mentally. Like I'm a firm believer, you're most open when you first catch the ball, yes. And shooters think, as soon as I catch this ball, I'm going to shoot it until they take it away from me. Yep, and you see the shots that TDD takes are second or third option shots.
Think, shoot.
That's some of the problem with Race, too. Like, yes. If Race catches and shoots, he's better. When he hesitates, should I reverse the ball? Should I throw it inside? No, now I'm going to step back behind the three.
He hit one last game where he stepped in as a jab step stop and shot it.
But
and
he's better off the catch.
It also scraped the rafters, quite frankly.
Right.
But, no, he's better when he catches it and does that step into it. And, you know, if they were real stickler, it's actually kind of a travel because he takes a step into it. A lot of guys do that. It's not – and they don't call it. But
I don't see TJD getting rhythm. No. 15-footer, so it's not a key for us.
He'll catch it at that spot, look to drive, take a second, set himself, and then say, I'm going to shoot, and shoot it when he does shoot it. He shot it more often last year. But
he's better off not shooting it at that point. Move it and go ball screen and try to get into some other action and taking that shot is more beneficial for Indiana.
If you question your shot at all, you're not going to make it. Yes, a fluky one may go down every once in a while. But if you question if you should be shooting, you should not be shooting.
We've always instructed people when you have a mishandled catch, don't shoot it because you're out of rhythm.
Your rhythm off.
Yeah. Shot fake or take a dribble and gather. Good shooters if you don't catch it in the pocket,
come back around to you. You know
exactly. Come off a screen. But where this question is important is, I do think in recruiting in the transfer portal. The next center we have, we want to have, and this is where the question is, the key to Indiana's future success is moving away from the at the rim, the dunker, the low post only center. I just think that unless you have a lot of guards like Arizona, I'm just a big believer in your fives and fours being able to shoot threes or shoot 15-footers.
You know what? Even if it's
you got to move that direction.
Even if it's 10 feet, coach. Even if it's 10 feet, get away from the hoop. Because you know what that does? It takes their best rebounder out, too, usually. And if you miss, you got a chance to get an offensive
And they can't do what they're doing now. It's just sag in and put a guy behind and a guy you know that they know when you catch, you're going to the rim. So they send three guys there and then dare you just to fling it out.
Well, here's the
if
other
you
thing.
Can just sigma and shoot over people. So I think that's the direction moving forward where this question is really, yes, the key to Indiana moving forward is to have your center be able to hit 15-footers, and not this season.
And the reason why it's threatening is not just to spread the floor and all that. It's TJD, where's he at his best? When he's attacking facing up. I mean, he's good with his back to the basket, but when he is going the best, it's off a pick and roll heading straight to the hoop, or when he's got the ball and he gets a guy one-on-one and can go by him. He's quick for his size. He's athletic. He can get around guys. Like, if he could catch that and make that. Now, guys, when he catches it 15 feet, guys can be 5 feet away from him if they want.
Right.
They're usually not. They're usually with about three and have the arm kind of at him. But still, that's space. If they had to get right up on him, that feeds right into what he wants to do, which is go by you. And that's when he's at his best. I know he works back to the basket pretty well, and he has the great little left-handed jump hook towards the middle of the lane when he's set up on the right side and he goes back to the middle. He's real good at that, and that's his go-to move. But he's at his best when he's faced you up or when he's running full speed towards the hoop off a pick and roll. That's him at home. And so you can't really do that if you can't hit a jumper. I mean, you can try, but it's a lot harder, you know. And he does it at times because he's so good at it, he's able to get away with it. But that's a lot harder when guys are backing off you.
Great comment here from Jeffrey in the chat. It says, my opinion, since I'm a salsa dancer. Do you guys know we had a salsa dancer in the chat?
Did not know that. Thank you, Jeff.
That's huge. It says, Trey says, so much muscle memory shooting close, but hasn't developed his muscle memory for shooting outside. He just isn't used to it, doesn't feel comfortable. Yeah, I mean, there's certain things when you get at game speed, you know, that's just different than what you can do in that empty gym. And so it's just not something he's developed yet.
This is kind of off the topic, but I think a lot of Indiana guys, the desire and the connected, we talked about it. I've said over and over how connected. I just think this team is wanting to do the right things. And right now they need to be freed up to make some mistakes a little bit more. So whether, you know, like TJD should just shoot that when he first caught that one instead of thinking about it. Ray should just shoot and think. That's going to open up. We may lose. It may be a missed shot, but play free. I think Trey Galloway's trying too hard to come over that ball screen and get into the lane and make something happen. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I missed the and one out to Miller Kopp. I think that's X. Like, I will never fault X desire to win for Indiana basketball. I think it hurts him at times because he goes 8,000 miles an hour, floats in the air, throws it to the coach, or pushes off, gets a second foul, those things. I think this team needs to take a deep breath and believe in themselves, as they do, but even more, and play calm and do the things they do well collectively. And part of that may be getting Hood Schifino back too, where you have your full complement of players. And maybe we've seen in the Rutgers and Arizona game that next man up, which is the right mentality, taken to too much aggression in their play offensively and defensively, worn people out. So getting back to full strength and just letting the game come to the offense and taking what's there is a vital step, I think, for this Hoosier team.
It's still a roster filled with guys that haven't won a lot. They've got a lot of college basketball experience, but not a lot of winning experience. They built some toward the end of last year. You win a game like at Xavier, you win a game against North Carolina, that helps. But there was a difference in the way Arizona approached that moment and the way Indiana approached the moment. And Arizona seemed like a team that has been in that moment and succeeded in that moment before. And that's something this team is going to have to develop throughout the season so that they're ready for the bigger moments later. But you can still see that, you know, this team, they don't quite have that, coach. They don't quite have that comfort level under the brightest lights yet. Doesn't mean they can't get it as the season goes on, but it's still something they're working toward.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. From Jim Tom Hoosier. After 10 games, do you think Malik Renew can still have a significant role? He seems to struggle against better interior talent. So here's what I want to say about Malik Renew. Number one, to the question that we were just talking about, what is Malik Renew's first thought every time he catches the ball? I'm shooting it until they take it away from me, right? Yeah. Even if he's behind the three-point line. I think he's going to develop into a guy who can step out and make that shot because he's confident in it, you know, and he's got decent enough mechanics, you know, so if he works at it, he'll be a guy who can step out and take it because he's got a shooter's mentality. Now, what I want to say about Malik Renew, I think one example to think about with Malik that is very, very instructive is think about the impact that OG Anunoby and Juwan Morgan had in 2016. Those guys did not do very much through the first 10, 12 games of the season. They played a little bit here and there. They would produce a little bit in one cupcake game, but didn't play almost any minutes in Indiana's big games. You know, we talked a lot about that Rutgers game when OG and Max Bielfeldt, you know, basically just formed a two-man tandem to, you know, help Indiana avoid a catastrophic loss to a sub-200 team. And that was really the first time, you know, OG had two of those stealing dunks and everybody's like, whoa, what's up with this guy? And he kind of slowly developed and got comfortable. And by the end of the season, was one of the three or four most important players on the roster. Witness the defense that he played against Jamal Murray in the NCAA tournament. I still think that we could see a progression like that from Malik Renew. You know, he's already a guy who has gone on the road against Xavier and produced, you know, and it's not that he's only done this against the cupcake teams, but he's really struggling right now. He's going too fast. He's trying to do stuff that probably worked in high school that hasn't worked here. And as Coach Woodson has talked about, he's learning how hard you have to play in college basketball. But he seems to me like a guy because of his body, because of his mentality. Like, I don't think he's just going to suddenly not be aggressive because being aggressive is part of his basketball DNA, Coach. I think he's a guy who could really come on. He profiles as a guy who could really come on the second part of the season. Not all freshmen do that, you know, but we saw it with OG, and I think Malik has that kind of talent and mentality. Even though he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall here, I still have really high hopes for what he can be in February and March.
I absolutely agree. I have no concerns about his ability to help this team win. I think freshmen hit walls at different times, the end of the first semester with school and play and all of that stuff. Can be contributing it, but he's also playing with a veteran in the same spot at Race. And if Race is playing well, Race is going to get a majority of the minutes. So you're going to see his production drop because of that. I mean, if Race is hitting threes, you're going to play Race Thompson. I mean, that's a no brainer. And then he's gotten into foul trouble. And so you see Coach Woodson saying, wow, I need to let him out there because you need to get minutes. You learn best. Practice is great. I love practice, but you get more experience by the reps you get during games.
So
he needs to play, and I think Coach Woodson sees that, and I think he's gotten early foul trouble in some of these games. And so I think it's a combination of stuff, but I'm not worried at all. He's got that mentality, that body, that he's going to be fine.
Valerie makes a good point, too. You know, he hasn't quite been the same since Jalen got hurt. And those are two guys who obviously played a lot together in high school. And, you know, that may have a little bit of an impact just on his comfort level on the court.
The reality is he's facing bigger, stronger guys, and he's struggled against them. And that's what it is. I mean, you can say it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. He's facing bigger, stronger guys who are tougher to handle defensively and tougher to handle offensively. And he's going to have to get used to that. I mean, that's being thrown in the deep end. That's why freshmen struggle. They're not as big and strong as the guys they're facing. You go from facing guys your age to facing guys 3-4 years older than you, who are 3-4 years bigger, stronger, more experienced, and better than you in a lot of ways. That doesn't mean I think that they're more talented, but they're better college basketball players right now, certainly. And so it's just going to be it's going to be an adjustment. It's always an adjustment. That's the danger of relying on freshmen heavily, is they're going to go through these periods. Now, the reward long-term is, like Coach said, you play the minutes, you get better, and it pays off. But that's what's going to happen. Jalen's going to have these games too, where he's going to struggle and do nothing. And it's going to be like, where's Jalen Huccifino? You know, and then you get better, you build on it, and you move forward. And again, these are highly rated guys. They're going to be good. It's just a matter of them getting through, some rough times. And that's what happens when you're a freshman.
All right, I have a date with my wife in like 5 minutes to go watch episode 3 of White Lotus. You guys been watching White Lotus?
You're only in episode 3.
We just started it. No, okay. Well, I know. We're just getting into it.
You did season 1, right?
We're on season. We're watching season one right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. I watch both.
So I have to. As much as I love hanging out with you guys, I got to get out there in a few minutes. So
hey,
we'll
man, I'm the one that's always like, let's keep the show under an hour. So I'm good with it.
Tighten up the show for Jared's date night.
Okay, so let's hit these last few questions rapid fire. Valerie says, does it bring the team good luck if I'm watching from Kentucky? I'll be part of six IU fans versus two UK people rooting from behind enemy lines. Must count for something. Yes.
Why are you friends with Kentucky fans? That's the first question.
That's a good question, Valerie. You're going to need to address that. That is a fair
question.
I don't
have question. Any Purdue fan friends, so, you know, I don't
All
know
right.
what you're doing.
Valerie, you can defend yourself.
Challenge.
Yeah, that is a challenge. Okay. Ryan, I guess this is probably better for you. Alex wants to know if anyone has an update on the recruiting front. Seems like there's been a bunch of interest, especially in the 24 and 25 classes. Lots of high five stars coming on campus. But, you know, is this going to result
what you
in
guys,
anything?
I got what you guys have. Indiana is shooting very high in 2024 and 2025, probably because they missed out on some guys this year. And let's be real, recruiting is about a three-year process with people. So this staff was playing catch-up in both 2022 and 2023. I think that they missed on some guys that were probably takes that they didn't invest in enough this coming year, and they swung and missed on some guys. I mean, they would admittedly say they swung and missed on some guys. That's not really just me saying that. They focused their attention on certain people they thought they could get and missed out on other guys as a result. And I'll say this, they're swinging big time. I think that they're smart to recruit programs as much as you recruit players. Any successful coach will tell you, you have to recruit programs as much as players. And they just happen to pick the best program in the country in Montverde. I'm probably the best to really connect with. And so there's a lot of Montverde guys who are seeing what Jalen's doing, seeing what Malik's doing, and are really interested in Indiana. Those guys are singing Indiana's praises back to them. Will you get everybody you go after? No, you're never going to get everybody you go after, especially when you go after the high level guys. They are going to need to backfill the roster in the transfer portal because I think a lot of guys are going to be gone. So they're going to need to do some work in the transfer portal they're going to need to get another big for sure because they missed out on the bigs. And, you know, unless there's a coach that's fired that has a great big committed or something like happened with, you know, Malik and, you know, when they got Tamar Bates. And so again, it's just a matter of them doing the work to get those guys. Next year, I would expect a couple transfers in. And then, yeah, they're going to try and build out the roster with high school guys, with high level high school guys. They're going after the top guys, and we'll see how that works out.
By the way, Valerie, it's her niece's husband. So that's why. So it's family.
I mean, are nieces really that important? It's
no,
I mean, you know,
I'm going to support Valerie. Valerie's awesome. I'm going to support you in this, Valerie. And yes, anytime Valerie is cheering for Indiana, it's good luck. Okay, let's hit these last ones. Leslie says, do you think Scoop will have extra juice playing in Kansas? 150%. I think it's going to be one of the keys of the game is how he handles the extra adrenaline of being back close to home in Kansas, because I think Indiana's going to need his offense off the bench. So if he can come in and give you 10 to 12 points, I think that's going to go a long way towards Indiana winning. And then coach, let me get this one to you and we'll get out of here on this one. Is there something about the way the offense is running this year that has led to Miller hitting more shots, or is it more about his skills or health improving or something else?
I had probably a combination of both. I think initially, there's just better play offensively when you have two, drivers of the basketball and Trey Galloway's back playing, who's a third driver of the basketball. Teams have to make decisions. And then you have Trace Jackson Davis, who is just so solid that teams are putting three people in the lane that he's getting a lot of open looks. But you combine that with, you know, he doesn't have that injured foot, his confidence. He just seems the last 2 weeks to be a heck of a lot more confident in his play. His ability to get to the rim, it's still not great, but he's got the confidence to try to do it. His shot fake and pull-ups, his just complete game, a lot of it is confidence. So a lot of that is the reason that he's playing. In fact, so much that I would like to see some action run specifically for him to shoot the three. However, it best to get him, whether it's off a move, a flare screen, whatever the analytics say that where his shot is, right side, left side, figure something out. Get him going early, not just dependent on the post kick out or a point guard drive and kick offense, because sometimes those shots don't find him for a while. But I think he's that much of an asset to this offense, and Scoop's getting that way too. Like, I think you can run some stuff for Scoop coming off the bench, some staggered doubles, and they have done some of that. I will say you have seen some staggered doubles, some what we call floppy action where the guards cut underneath and come off pin screens. But I would like to see some specific things run for Miller. I've kind of made a 180 on my thoughts about how well he's played because I think he's earned it.
Absolutely. All righty, folks, that is going to do it for us on this week's episode of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live, join us at assemblycall.com on Thursday nights for the live broadcast of our Assembly Call radio recording. We want to thank Bob Thompson for producing our music. Special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logos. And, of course, thank you to Tate Frazier from Titus and Tate for joining us tonight. And thank you for listening. We will be back on Saturday after IU Kansas with the postgame show. Until then,
take it from me, native Hoosier Mark Titus. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come. This is Stunt Sony.
That's right.
Sorry, we're out of here.
Morris. All right.
Yeah, here I come. It's, yeah.
All right,
who's
gents.
On Saturday? Who's on Saturday?
Coaches for sure.
I'll be hosting.
I'm in.
All right, I'm a game. Andy's out. I'm a game time decision, and Tony might be here. So,
what days are our shows next week? What days are the games? I have it marked down. But
I know there's a game on the 23rd, and I probably can't do that one. So we need to talk about that one. And then the 20th.
Is that okay? So it's Tuesday, Friday.
It's Tuesday, yeah. Friday, and then okay. Off all the way until January 5th.
Okay. And we're going to do a Thursday show next week, possibly.
Hang on. What date is that? That's the 22nd?
I think that's a sub show. Like, I think we should get Galen and Tony to give their opinions or something. Just because we're going to have two shows that week. Let's get...
Yeah, I know. I may be down at my in-laws, so it may be hard for me to host that. But, well, yeah, I agree. Let's get some new voices.
Get some new... Yeah. And it, just because we're all going to be on for two shows that week.
So. And I think Galen and Tony would appreciate being referred to as subs.
Well, no, I just mean different than us. Like, I would love to hear those two talk. That's why I suggest them. I would love to hear a conversation between those two. So, is Tony going to be able to come to the meetup?
I don't know. We'll see. All right. I hope.
I
empty the bench and get Galen and Tony in there.
Yes, exactly. It's, you know, there are Offeld and Tabor. Come on. In a pinch, they'll be starters. If they just stick around all 4 years.
Got to work on their game.
Remind me to tell you, I have some ideas for the live show. We are there for the meetup. I have some ideas.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good.
You should host the live.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to keep it simpler this year, I think.
I agree. Like, an hour and a half show with that many people there is not going to
work. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to keep it simpler. Yeah. Yep. We've already been talking about that. We're just there to party, man. We're there to party.
Yeah,
and hang
we're there
out
to party,
folks.
Have fun. If we have some guests, we'll interview them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everybody.
Later, guys.
We'll talk to you all Saturday. Good or night, for everyone. Community members, tomorrow, Banner Friday, Mike DeCourcy.
Enjoy that.
All right, see y'all.